If you're thinking, I should go for a run today, but it looks like it could rain, Sierra says save on epic rain jackets. If you're also thinking, but I can't go out in these beat-up old running shoes, Sierra says save on top brand running shoes. And if you're still thinking, but I'm also busy performing brain surgery, well, then we say, you really should have led with that. Sierra, let's get moving to your local store, like now. Go!
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Guys, there was one point. Good morning.
I love how the music is like all intense on our lead, and I'm like, yeah, but that didn't translate to the game.
I was going
to
say, there was one point in the second.
Morning, Max. Morning, Jay.
Good morning.
Good morning. You know, Country Club Key.
It's cool.
That was your Country Club voice. That wasn't your real voice.
Come on. I thought you were talking about what I sent you on the text yesterday about the menu that they were serving Country Club. It wasn't my Country Club, but it was a Country Club.
What were they
club.
Serving?
But you did not. Max probably was asleep.
Yeah, I wanted to react to it, but I got angry.
You guys are on the show to. Text.
No, well, we'll talk about it. Let's not get derailed, and you'll trip off what I did. You'll trip off what I did, and you know I did it too.
You but anyway, for the owner.
Don't you just? We'll get there. So yeah, Max, the game.
Did you watch
the second half?
When you guys send on those text chains, it's always 60 new messages every time I look at it, and I can't even pick up the thread. I got to scroll back so far.
He's got to pick one message and just
listen
on that.
But there was a time in the second quarter.
Yeah,
last
stay on
night.
One of them. Yeah.
There was a time in the second quarter. Duggan had the ball. They were like at midfield. They were driving, putting a little drive together. I want to say it was 17-7, and I was thinking, wait a minute, they scored. You know, because you're rooting for a game. They score here.
Absolutely.
They score here, and it's a one score game, and it looked pretty good for them. And
you know what was so trippy?
Turned it over. That was a wrap.
I was sitting there with Vance, my son, and we were watching it. And you know, Georgia, boom, they hit 7-0, kick the field goal, go up 10-0. All of a sudden, the secondary, they blow a coverage for Georgia over the top, down to the 10. They punch it in. It's 10-7. I told my son, he goes, I think TCU got a shot. I said, Vance. That's how I talked to him, too. I looked at him, I said, Vance, let me tell you something. In the 80s, when I was a kid, I used to watch Nebraska play teams like Missouri. It'd be like 7-10 Missouri. I'm like, oh, yeah, they got a shot. They go away, come back. 65-7 Nebraska. I told him. I said, this is what's getting ready to happen to Georgia and TCU. TCU deserved to be there, no question about it. They took care of business against Michigan, who took care of business against Ohio State. Georgia beat Ohio State. So you look at it, you go, they deserve to be there. But it was just not going to happen.
Even the matchup they thought they had, right? In the matchup they thought they had, maybe they could go over. They didn't have anything. No. And then they blew the coverage on the next series. They blew. They get a gift and they give it right back. And at that point, you know, it's a wrap.
Well, if you see, I mean, all the pregame interview with Kirby, considering that they gave up 41 points against Ohio State, where he was like, no, what's the tone of how aggression, like that's all he kept saying. So when you saw the first half, and then you saw even when some of the starters are out in the second half, you're like, well, damn. Man, it made me start to think about, well, what about next year? They lost 15 from last year. They right here again. And then what's going to be next year?
Them young dogs, you could just tell they were bigger, faster, coached differently. I mean, you could just look at them, and they just look different. They look like a different team. And I was saying to myself, I was like, ooh, I'm glad SC didn't go. I was saying, ooh, they would have ate us up if we'd played them.
It's worse to get there and get mollywopped than it is to you know, not get there at all to me. Like,
I'd
rather get there. I'd rather get there, Max.
As athletes,
first year head coach.
No, as athletes, I understand. I'm thinking about Giants, the one Super Bowl they lost to the Ravens. I remember after that, they just got stomped. And I remember afterwards thinking, man, I just wish they wouldn't have even gotten there. It wasn't worth it.
Yeah, but see, you're thinking like a fan,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, but most of the people listening to us right now are fans.
You're a head coach. That's on my resume. I made it to a national championship game as a player.
I need to talk to the chip.
No doubt.
Hey, Jay, I need to go talk to the athletic director
tomorrow.
We got to figure out how to continue to do this in a positive manner. Keon, the only way we can do this is my staff needs to be compensated a certain way, and I need to be compensated a certain way, or else, you know, that A&M job might look good to me next year.
I wonder what that enrollment went up. What percentage did that enrollment go up for TCU? TCU branded everywhere. Yeah, what's that worth?
As you know, Jay, it does go up.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I mean, I remember when SC was down, and obviously Alabama was rolling, and Clemson was rolling, and SC's application as enrollments was down, and many kids from the West Coast was going to schools in the South because what they see, like you say, Jay, is all the branding.
Yep.
Alabama everywhere, Clemson everywhere. I mean, they came in and infiltrated California in terms of getting students. Not even athletes, just normal students.
So Stetson Bennett last night, guys. Four touchdown passes.
College version of Joe Burrow. Out there smoking cigars.
By the way, outrunning defenders. Four touchdown passes. Ran for two. TCU, the final score is 65. As Key was saying, Key, it sounded like you were trying to make up a score from the old days, right? But it really was 65-7.
If you think about it and you go look at some of those box scores from the old days and you look at some of them teams like
Nebraska,
like
you got
Nebraska,
it. Yeah, yeah.
And you look up, yes. I'm telling you, it'd be 7-0 heading into halftime, Missouri's up. At the end of the game, it's 65-7.
Well, it was in the second quarter, halfway through the second quarter, TCU had the ball, they were driving down the field, they were about midfield, and it was, I want to say, 17-7. It wound up 65-7, the 58-point margin of victory, the largest ever in a bowl game, and the 65 points is the most scored in the BCS college football title game. So here's the question now, guys. Is Georgia the gold standard in college football? Just keep in mind, when Dabo was neck and neck for about four or five years with Saban, and Clemson looked like a rising power, but it was still, they hadn't overtaken him yet, and it was still basically the same system in place. Then things changed. NIL, portal, and now it's like, what's the new world going to look like, right?
Yeah, no, I think Georgia is, they're going. It changes a little bit because you got this power. You got this 12-team playoff thing coming here soon. So I think it'll change a little bit. But Georgia, Alabama, you know, Michigan, those teams, Texas, they gonna still be the gold standard, man. USC, they gonna still be the gold standard. What they've got to do now is catch up with Georgia in terms of playing for national championships. Because Georgia, since Kirby Smart's been there, what is this, three now? He's played in three, one back-to-back.
Yep.
So, I mean, guy's only been coaching there for, I think, 5-6 years now.
Right, and with now, and in the BCS college football playoff situation, since NIL especially and Portal, David Pollack, who is famously a Georgia alum and now ESPN college football analyst, was it halftime?
It's 38-7 at halftime.
In front of Nick Saban, listen to what he said about college football in Georgia.
Georgia, obviously, you've seen in the past couple seasons now, really, they've taken hold of college football. They did an unbelievable job. This is a young football team. This isn't an old football team with a bunch of guys losing. Now, listen, the NFL can take its chunk out of any team, but it's just an unbelievable job of them 2 years in a row now putting the special seasons together.
Key, this is why I love the internet.
So we only got the voice. We didn't get the look.
Yeah, well, the internet is undefeated, so you can see it all over the internet. Because last night it started trending. The look on Nick Saban's face was like of sheer fury. It was like it was just like this looking around. Like, am I really hearing those words?
Was David Pollack lying?
No, it wasn't. No lies, but
so Nick Saban got to understand, like, you know, that look.
But see, I'm not about to. Here's what I'm gonna say. I'm not about to act as though that Alabama Crimson Tide is not going to finish in the top five teams in college football. So it ain't like they went from 1 to 30.
But they had a stranglehold for so long.
Yeah, but did they? They had a stranglehold, but they did go back and forward, you know, with Clemson.
Clemson, yep.
LSU won one there. Mm-hmm. I mean, so it's not like they just won nine
in
a row.
That's what I'm saying. If they get
this wasn't UCLA year, basketball from the 60s.
Yeah, even if they're in the – if Alabama's in the championship game and lose a tough one, next year, right? It's kind of right back to where it is. But as of right now, Georgia's the betting favorite, plus 375 to win next season's college football playoff.
Bama's next.
Alabama's next, 550, plus 550. Ohio State, plus 650 next in line. So it's the same three favorites that entered last season. Here's the question.
How are you going to have Ohio State plus 650 and C.J. Stroud is probably going to the pros?
Well, here's the question about Georgia. What constitutes a dynasty in college football? They've now gone back-to-back. It's first time in the CFP playoff format, right? Like in this playoff format. They went back-to-back. Is this a dynasty yet? Is it on its way to being a dynasty?
Back-to-back is a dynasty.
I need to find out.
In college football.
Yeah.
So he's gone to three championships in 5 years? Or has it been six?
I don't know what the exact number is, but I mean, three championship appearances, back-to-back championships. That's a dynasty, man.
Yeah, that's a dynasty.
I'm just trying to
Miami Hurricanes type stuff.
Trying to see how many. I'm trying to calculate in my head how many. Is there any players on the team that has gone to all three with him, or was that before any of these classes?
No, Stetson's been to two, but I mean.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
So
offhand.
It's the seventh
season.
He's gone to three. So no.
Yeah.
Seven and three. I was thinking yesterday too. You mentioned Stetson Bennett, Jay. Who does he like? Give me somebody from college basketball that's him. Could just winning. He probably not going to go to the pros and be successful in the NFL. Going to be a great guy that you're rooting for. You love to see him play. Like, who is that in college basketball?
No lock. It might be Tyler Hansbrough. Might be Tyler Hansbrough from North Carolina. See, like, it doesn't jump off the page for you, like, but it's like college. But, like, Tyler was good out of high school. Like, this kid was good. He was good out of high school. Like, a walk-on. You know what I mean? He goes down to a JUCO and then gets called. Like, it's a completely the backstory. It seems like a Netflix story. It seems like something we would have on Disney Plus.
I mess with him.
Jerry McNamara.
Sure. You know how I am. If I ain't messing with you, I ain't messing with you. Stetson Bennett,
I rock with that.
I mess with him.
Be a part of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Call us 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation presented by Dr. Pepper. It ain't college football season without the delicious taste of an ice-cold Dr. Pepper the one fans deserve. Would you rather get to a championship and get blown out, TCU?
No.
Or not get there at all?
It's like, Max, you'd rather get to the heavyweight championship and get knocked out? Come on, Max.
In one round. plus, what does Cliff Kingsbury's firing mean for Kyler Murray, Keyshawn?
You can pick up that house.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
10 months after signing a contract extension through the 2027 season, the Cardinals have fired coach Cliff Kingsbury.
We can sit up here and ask the question, do we think the Arizona Cardinals are a stable organization? My answer right now will be no.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, we're going to get to Cliff Kingsbury in a second. Eric in Missouri wants to get in on the college championship from last night. What's up, Eric?
Love your show. So love watching it every morning. Just got off work. First thing I turn on. Hey, I agree with them guys, though. Sorry, Max, man. You got to get to the dance. That means everything. You get there, no matter you get blowed out, you got to get there. You know, give yourself a chance. I mean, hey, it happens, you know. Not everybody can be, you know, Georgia. Hey, but get to the dance. You know, that's so much better than
you're
if you
right.
get blowed out, you get blowed
no,
out.
No, you're right. Technically, I just mean as a fan, Eric, you ever have your team get there and it was the whooping was so bad, you're like, damn, for that, I wish they would. Like, that's how I felt when the Giants played the Ravens that year.
You right from a – you're totally right from a fan's perspective, right? And the reason I say this is because I remember going down several years ago to the Alabama-USC game in Texas. You know, oh, me and my boys, you know how we roll. Flying, we get there, we're going to stay overnight if we win. We're going to go home if we lose. You know, we didn't stay. We left the beginning of the third quarter. We flew in and left the beginning of the third quarter because as a fan, we was getting our rear end kicked. I'm not going to sit there and watch this.
Yep.
We should have just not scheduled them. That's why when COVID happened, and we had to cancel the Alabama situation. It was many of us that, because we're going to play them, it was many of us that was clapping for that reason.
Yeah, remember the Titans.
As a fan, though. Only as a fan.
So the movie Remember the Titans, what was so, like, remember that, like, here comes the emotional moment. It's like, always make sure they remember the day they played the Titans. Even if you're going to lose, but leave an impression. Let them know that you were there. Have them remember how hard it was to beat you. Like, leave something of yourself there. When you get blown out like that, it's like you didn't even leave an impression. You know what I mean? It's as a fan, it's like, oh, man. You feel like you didn't get repped. I don't know.
I get it as a fan. But as a – you're talking to two players, though, Max,
yeah.
And we ain't having
I know.
It.
I know it. Cardinals fire Cliff Kingsbury, guys.
Really?
And GM Steve Keim steps aside. So they signed these dudes. Remember they signed them to the contract extension before Kyler? And that signaled clearly they're going to sign Kyler, right? You think it's like a package deal, but Kyler was still in a rush to get signed. And you're like, oh, wait a minute. Maybe there's a little division here, a little separation. It's not as packaged up as we like to think. These two dudes, what are they doing? They signed them 10 months ago to an extension. And anyway, they're
– So that just means less money for the new people.
I guess. Kingsbury's 28-38-1 overall. Over four seasons, including 4-13 this season. And for sure, when Kyler was healthy.
You said 28-38-1?
Yeah. 10 games under 500.
It just sounds horrible.
Yeah.
Right? It just sounds.
It doesn't
sound
horrible. It is horrible.
Well, it's all this year that buried him. Yeah. 4-13.
I know they struggled in the past, but I didn't realize, you know, until you say it, Jay, until you say the record.
Yeah, but Key, it's also not the record. Remember, like, there's this history. I think I talked about it last year where it always seemed like they had a hot start and it always fizzled on the back end.
Yeah,
like when the moments became the biggest, when you needed them to step up, that's when he lost his squad.
Yeah, the only difference this year, because he was about 500, a game under 500 before this year, Key. The only difference between this year and the other years is they didn't have that fast start, so they just had a terrible record in the end because they were still no good at the end. Right? Like,
But you knew the it was coming down to the end. When Kyler Murray attacked – well, I don't want to use the word attack. Yeah. When Kyler Murray had a conversation on the sideline with the head coach during the season, an adamant conversation where everything was like, you knew right then. You're like, yeah, if they don't make it to the playoffs, they're going to fire this dude.
Yeah. There was a division there. It wasn't packaged up as we thought, maybe.
But it's all ownership, though. Like, when you look back at how they allowed their team to be governed, right, the structure. Like, think about the conversations we've had about Kyler Murray. I mean, we've had former players come on the show, former players of his, and talk about the lack of leadership. Right, think about some of the things.
That was his right tackle.
Okay, and think about the things that are baked into his contract, too, Key, about him staying focused with the playbook and on the field. So, and combine that with just signing Cliff Kingsbury and the GM 10 months ago to an extension and now making moves, it has to make you think, how is this franchise being led overall?
Well, 13 losses tied for the most in a season in franchise history for the Cardinals 2018 and 2000. He ends the season, Kingsbury does, in a 7-game losing streak, fourth longest losing streak within a season since the franchise moved to Arizona. Jeremy Fowler, if you happen to be near a TV yesterday between the hours of 2 and 3 p.m. Eastern, and you were on ESPN, handsome guy hosts a show called This Just In, and Jeremy Fowler was on that show and was talking Cliff Kingsbury.
There's a lot to unpack there because Cliff Kingsbury, we had heard, was pretty unhappy with the situation there, too. I mean, you had an absent general manager for much of the year. You had injuries galore, maybe not all the resources you needed, and you lost 18 of the last 23 games leading up to his firing. So the relationship with Kyler Murray was tense. That tension was palpable throughout the year with the lack of communication. And so it was just time to move on to the point where Kingsbury, we were told, that was thinking about moving on his own, maybe walking away. So it would not surprise if he took some time away from coaching at this point just to recharge.
So, Key.
Coaching what?
Yeah. But, like, what does this mean for Kyler? You know, like, you thought that they went together, air raid, this and that, and that's the reason Kingsbury's hired. What does this mean for Kyler?
Well, one, he needs to get healthy, right? Let's assume he gets back healthy. Whoever they hire in as the new head coach isn't going to take this job without full control. I can almost guarantee you that because of the situation with the personnel and everything else, the fact that they've given money to a quarterback that a new head coach may not embrace coming in. So he's going to want full control, whoever that may be. And Kyler Murray, from what I understand, I saw something that said he wanted input on the new head coach. I'm like, yeah, I don't think so. I don't think that is probably going to happen. As much as he would like to be a part of that search, I don't know that would happen.
So, then, Key, that's my follow-up question. Look, if you're looking at Kyler Murray, you are an incredibly talented young player. But as it relates to who's making these decisions about who's coming into this franchise, you can allow to hear his input, but I wouldn't compute any of that input. You know what I mean?
I do.
To a degree, like, thank you, Kyler, for whatever you have to say, but I'm going to make the decision what's in the best interest of the franchise. And, I mean, the normal cast of characters, right? Sean Payton, is that something that he's interested in? If it is between the Chargers or the Cardinals, like, I'm looking at Justin Herbert way differently than I'm looking at Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray's also coming off – he'll be coming off an ACL injury. So
and the size gift, key his, and how that works.
His gift is his leg, so – you would think that there would be some hesitation on his style of play early on in this upcoming season because of the knee injury.
The thing about Kyler, I think it was Mike Tannenbaum who said it, he's coming up in a little bit on this show. When you talk about the greatest athlete, just athlete on earth, he's on a short list. When you think about what he's able to do, he got drafted way up high in baseball by the Oakland A's. Billy Beane doesn't waste draft picks, like sixth overall. He's a quarterback in the NFL, achieving at a high level when he's on the field and healthy and everything. So you put up with a lot, but you have to put up with a lot so far in his career. Chiefs are the number one seed in the AFC, guys. But are they the top team in Key's final real ranking of the regular season? That's up next.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
I'm the smartest guy in the box, so I like that too.
Key's Real Rankings.
All right, these rankings are brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Key, your final best teams in the NFL, your final Keys Real Rankings, week 18.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, this is the final. These teams climbed in there, starting at number 7.
Number 7.
The Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys was as high as 2 throughout the year, but for whatever reason, they decided to play pretty lazy and lousy down the stretch. The Dallas Cowboys sit at number 7. Dak Prescott's got to get things turned around against Tampa Bay on Monday Night Football. If not, there'll be an early exit out of the playoffs.
Number 6.
Number 6, the Los Angeles Chargers, Justin Herbert and company. Now, look, Brandon Staley's been doing some goofy stuff all year long at the coaching position, left players in way too long in the final game of the regular season. Luckily, Mike Williams is not injured all that bad, expected to play in the first playoff game in a long time for the Los Angeles Chargers. They sit at number 6.
Number 5.
Number 5, the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals are a red-hot football team walking into the playoffs. When you look at the Cincinnati Bengals, they certainly look like a team headed in the right direction. Joe Burrow and company got things together in the middle of the year and kept it rolling from there on. Now they got an opportunity to go up and finish something that they didn't finish last year, was get to the Super Bowl and win it. It'll be a tough spot knowing that Buffalo and Kansas City is in the same conference, but Cincinnati could do it.
Number 4.
Number 4, the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles have been bouncing from 1-3, 3-1 all year long in my real ranking. Right now, and they sit at number 4. I didn't like the way they played against the Giants, and I know Jalen Hurts was coming off an injury. They looked a little sluggish at times, a little rusty. Maybe with the bye week that they get with the number 1 seed, they'll get back in sync, guys will get healthy, and they'll start to roll again.
Number 3.
And number 3, the Buffalo Bills, a team that's been, again, 1-2-3 all year long. I even had them out of the rankings at once upon a time because they made me mad at the way that they played and lost the football game. But they sit at number 3, took care of business, won the AFC East. Now they get an opportunity to face the Miami Finn J Dolphins in the playoffs. They'll advance and move on. I'm guaranteeing you that one. They sit at number 3.
Shocker.
Number 2.
The San Francisco 49ers and Brock Purdy, not Purdy, doing his job with Christian McCaffrey on the ground, running it, Deebo Samuel in the air, Ayuk along with Bosa in that defense. This team, you know, it's hard to go against them as being the team coming out of the NFC. If you go against them, I would say that you're probably wrong. They probably will be the team representing the NFC in Arizona for the Super Bowl. They just got too much talent and they're well coached. They sit at number 2.
Number 1.
Number 1, the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City's bounced around from 1-3, 3-1, maybe 2 in the real rankings all year long. But basically, between them and Philadelphia, they've held down the number 1 spot. Patrick Mahomes and company, they just continue to win the division, dominate. Reminds me of what Bill Belichick, along with Tom Brady, did for 20 years in the AFC East. They're doing it in the AFC West now. They sit at number 1. I'm picking them to represent the AFC coming out of Kansas City and playing in Arizona against the San Francisco 49ers for the Super Bowl.
It's a good list.
Here's what I would say.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I have an honorable mention on the list as well. Honorable mention teams. Any teams that Jay is rooting for this week is honorable mention. Okay. Any of them. I'm sure there's a thousand of them.
Yeah, there's multiple teams. Multiple teams. I will say, though, Kia, the one disappointing aspect of this list, and the list is it's a decent list. I wouldn't say good.
Why wouldn't you say good?
Because I just think that he is overlooking what the Cincinnati Bengals have done. And this is Joe Thurl. This is Joe Burrow. I'm going to go ahead and say it, Key. I mean, winners of 7 straight. They were up in that game against the Bills. Granted, before that game stopped. I might have them number 2 right now. Like, I might be.
And actually, they beat Kansas City head to head. You could even argue they should be 1.
I would have KC 1. I would have the Bengals 2. I would have the Bills, because I feel like the Bills are turning into this team of destiny thing. 3. 49ers 4. I would have the Eagles 5, just because, look, they should be up there at number 1, number 2, but Jalen Hurts coming off that injury, finding himself. Like,
you know what,
rhythm.
Though, Jay? I agree. I would have the Bengals higher, but I can't.
You're going to have the Bengals higher than who?
I have the Bengals higher than everyone except the Chiefs.
So you would have the Bengals higher than San Francisco. And that dominant
defense. Yeah, you know why? You know why, Key? You know why?
And you would have them and then higher than Buffalo.
Yeah, I would. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they would have won that game against Buffalo. I think they've won 7 in a row, as Jay says. And here's the thing about them and the 49ers. I like Brock Purdy, too. You give me an undrafted rookie quarterback or like a guy versus Joe Burrow, because the Bengals have a defense, too, now. And they got playmakers, too.
You do understand their defense ain't nowhere near San Francisco.
No, San Francisco got a better defense.
Yeah, I agree.
But the Bengals have a defense. If you give Joe Burrow playmakers in a defense, I like him over a nice little quarterback like Brock Purdy. So, but what I'm saying is, I think you can make a good argument for any team in the top five to be one. I think there's an argument for all of them. Like, if Jalen Hurts hadn't been hurt, they might be one, right?
He is hurt.
If Jalen Hurts didn't miss any time,
yeah, they'd be one.
Yeah. They probably would only have one loss on their record.
Yeah, right. Sure. Yeah.
So, I'm looking at all that when I'm factoring this into it. Yeah. Buffalo, a team of destiny, they just look like they just rolling. I understand when that game was canceled and all that or suspended, that Cincinnati was on the march and moving and scoring points or whatever. I get all that.
Yep.
But the game wasn't finished. Mm-hmm. So I can't say, I couldn't do it.
But see, Key, I got a little taste because I understand how you look at things, right, through the prism of it. You see, Max, Key doesn't like when things are packaged up prematurely.
That's right.
So, you know, the way Joe Thurrow has been packaged.
Yeah, it's going to take him.
I like Joe.
I know you like him. But it's
Joe's
the way
fine.
He was packaged coming into the season.
He's got your number.
That goes to the Super Bowl year after year. He's like, it's not this. So
he's got your number. You have a conflicting situation now. On the one hand, you naturally like Joe Burrow. You like the cut of his jib, right? On the other hand, because he's been packaged up, you have a little bit of that thing, hold on a second.
His packaging is legit. There's no yeast with him. This is why I said earlier about Stetson Bennett during our offline conversation. The reason I like Stetson Bennett at Georgia's quarterback is because you're not trying to sell me. You're not trying to tell me he's the next Dan Marino. You're not doing that.
But
you're just allowing me to like his play and embrace the moment in which the young man is doing, opposed to trying to tell me he's the top quarterback in the draft, and you're not doing that.
But, for example, early in the season, I said Cincinnati's going to make the playoffs, and you were like, I don't think so this year. You know, Super Bowl hangover, whatever.
Of course not. They weren't playing good.
But the reason I really thought they were going to make it, even though their defense is played, and Ja'Marr Chase when he's healthy and all this kind of stuff, it's like, man, I look at Joe Burrow, I'm like, this dude ain't trying to miss no playoffs. Like, there's some dudes, they're not missing the playoffs.
See, when you start looking at the quarterback is one thing, but I still got question marks about Zach Taylor.
Uh-huh.
So, even though the quarterback is doing his job, sometimes the coaches make you not believe in their team. Even though Pittsburgh has not a great quarterback situation, but guess what? I believe in the coach.
Yeah, I hear
so
that.
So, therefore, I believe in the team.
No,
it's
I hear
like
that.
The Chargers.
Yeah.
I like everything the Chargers got. But the one guy I don't believe in
is the coach. I hear
so
that.
So, therefore, I don't believe in what the Chargers might do.
That's
who I am.
Look, I thought they were good rankings. I might quibble one or thing, but I think your rankings are good with me.
I don't care what y'all think anyway.
But that's the most important thing.
You guys, it's my rankings. I don't care.
The Bears have the number one pick. Would Chicago actually draft little Bryce Young.
Oh,
and move on from big, strong Justin Fields?
You are little. Stop calling other men little.
I don't play in the NFL, brother.
You're not
Key.
You're not
Key. I don't play in the NFL.
He's 6'4".
How tall is Bryce Young?
You are like 5. Why are you putting your hand on
you
your
head? We do not look eye to eye. You maybe are a half inch taller than
Key,
me.
Come
maybe.
Get your man.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
It seems to me that one of the great things about if you're where the Bears are, they have all this money, all this draft capital, the number one pick, and they don't need a quarterback. Where are you with everything?
They don't need a quarterback. Now what you do is you evaluate what you could do with that number one pick. Who wants a quarterback? Who wants to go up and get a quarterback? It just depends on what my good friend Ryan Pace, my good buddy Ryan Pace, wants to do.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, were presented by Progressive Insurance.
Yeah, that must have been from 2 years ago.
Yeah. You have confused one small little white guy with a big tall black guy.
Yeah, listen, Kanye makes some great music, but I think we gotta quit playing Kanye, man. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah. What are you talking about, Max?
Yeah. Well, I just took a hard turn. But
that's right, because we're coming in with Kanye. I think you're all Kanye now. Yeah,
I wouldn't even say anything. I wasn't even paying attention to that. I was thinking about Ryan Pace, man.
But Yates, I think we got to kill the Kanye. Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN, NFL front office insider,
the Bomber.
Mike, oh, we're gonna get into it today.
Let's go.
How you doing?
I got broad shoulders. What's the topic?
I don't know how people in Chicago are going to feel about your
You tweeted this weekend.
I don't know.
That wasn't him. Somebody
about what the Bears should do with the number one overall pick up in windy, brisk, cold Chicago.
Don't take it, man.
Broad shoulders, right? That's the broad-shouldered thing. That's Chicago. You need a big, strong quarterback, right? And they have one in Justin Fields. What should they do with the number one pick?
They had an unexpected opportunity. So I like Justin Fields. I want to be abundantly clear. I think he has the ability to be a top 10 quarterback at some point. He got better this year. With that said, they were the worst team in the league in terms of yards per game. Not all his fault. What I would do is I would trade Justin Fields for a 1 and a 3 to at least a dozen teams. Seattle, New Orleans, Carolina, New York Jets. There's a lot of different teams that need a quarterback. And then what I would do is I would draft Bryce Young, and here's why. I would then reset the quarterback clock on a rookie contract, and let's look at Jacksonville. They have Trevor Lawrence. They go out and get Evan Ingram. They go get Brandon Scherff, Olokan, Christian Kirk, and now they're in the playoffs. So if I could go get 4 starters in free agency, a 1 and a 3, and get a player, in my opinion, and Bryce Young, who's a better quarterback than Justin Fields, and I could get 6 additional players, I'm making that move.
Key?
Oh, my God. You said Bryce Young is a better quarterback than Justin Fields?
I do. I think.
But
Bryce
does he project in the pros? Really?
Wait, Mike, you're blowing my mind. You're blowing the gasket right now. You are firmly on the record stating that Bryce Young is better than Justin Fields.
I think Justin Fields is going to be a B+. Again, I like Justin Fields. I think Bryce Young has a chance to be a superstar. I think Bryce Young's accuracy, anticipation, and arm strength is rare and special. And I'll give Todd McShay credit because he came up with this comp first. But the one negative of Bryce Young is his stature. I've seen him. I met him. He's a little bit like Steph Curry. Steph Curry came out as an undersized player from Davidson. Rest is history.
But no one's tackling Steph Curry, Mike.
I know. I think Bryce Young has the ability, because of his flexibility, to have a long career. I think Bryce Young's going to be really special.
Is he Plastic Man? Are you familiar with the NFL? I know you are, because you were the GM
right
of a successful team, traditionally a team that didn't have any success, except when you were there.
I've been knowing Mike for a very long time, Mike Tannenbaum, our insider, front office insider here at ESPN. Been knowing him for a very, very long time. But what I would do if I was working alongside Mike is I would put in my resignation immediately when he starts talking about trading Justin Fields for Bryce Young. Mike, you know better than that.
No, wait a
second. I understand you're looking at the salary cap and you're trying to reset the quarterback deal because he'll be in the third year and moving toward making some money 2 years from now. I get all that. You're nervous about the $200 million plus that you're going to have to give him in guaranteed money. I got it. Now, what I would say from my instant evaluator eyes is that Bryce Young is a good college football quarterback. There's no question about it. He's done some amazing stuff at Alabama. He's small in stature. When you look at the smaller quarterbacks in the history of the National Football League, they are often injured, often, whether it's Zach Wilson, Drew Brees, who's going to the Hall of Fame, was often injured in New Orleans and San Diego. Now we're looking at Kyler Murray, who's coming off an ACL, but was often in and out of the lineup in Arizona, which essentially costed Cliff Kingsbury, along with his bad coaching, his job. Doug Flutie was a smaller quarterback, didn't have all that much success. It was a good story in the National Football League. And I want Bryce Young to get all the money he can get. But when you are this small in stature, as you know, it's very hard for me to sign off on that, thinking about Dominique Sue's of the world and Aaron Donald's of the world and Joey and Nick Bosa's of the world going to get this young man. I just, Kenny Clark landing on him in Green Bay. It just, I can't do it. I can't do it. Not at all. And to Max's point, as you know, Mike, what do you want in a cold weather quarterback? You want a big, strong Josh Allen piercing the football through that weather. Drew Bledsoe piercing the football through that weather. Justin Herbert. Bryce Young doesn't have a strong arm like that. Great anticipation for college football. But that anticipation in college, that window is big compared to the pros, which is small. That's all.
Mike,
here's my paperwork, Mike. Here's my paperwork. I'm going to step down now.
No. I'm going to tear up your resignation. You're going to sit right next to me, because when we bring in those five other really good players, like, we are going to flip this roster overnight. And, again, Justin Fields, guys, he's a work in progress. Again, I think he's going to be really good. He's gotten better. But if I can get five other players with a quarterback who I think has a chance to have a higher ceiling, to me, that's the way I'm going to go.
Let's focus on – we get the strategy. It makes sense. It's a sound strategy, obviously. But I want to focus on the size. Like, I'm very surprised, Mike, because you are a guy who focuses relentlessly on this is tackle football. This guy is undersized.
I think that's totally fair. I think Bryce Young's the exception. I think he has rare flexibility to withstand the Kenny Clarks. And I get that. That all makes sense to me. And ordinarily, I'd rather have Justin Herbert over Tua. I've been on the record for that for years, because the bigger, stronger guy over time is going to – it's a big man's game. I just think Bryce Young's an exception. And I think he has phenomenal pocket mobility. And I think he's going to be a really, really good player at the next level.
He surely – everything that you're saying, everything that you're saying about him, Mike – is true. Anticipation, pocket awareness, some flexibility. I mean, all of those things are true. But it's very hard for me to get out of my mind when my defensive end is 6'5" and a half, 290, and he's bench pressing 560 off the nest, and he reaches out with that one arm and grabs the dude and yanks him down, even though the left tackle is holding him up, but he can reach around him to grab a little dude and still get the sack. That's hard for me to get out of my mind. Unlike Josh Allen, who you grab and all of a sudden he just is still able to put the ball in the air. It's hard for me to get that out of my mind.
Not to mention the injury risk.
Yeah, and Mike, how do you handle a guy like Ryan Poles, who's like has all the respect from the media right now with the way he's handled Roquan Smith, other players, right? But then all of a sudden, if you were to – Justin Fields is like the heart and soul of this team right now.
Yeah,
if you were to make that move.
Like, right. You're resetting the organization. And, again, my best analogy, Jay Will, is look at the Jaguars. I'd flip it, and I'd bring in Bryce Young with five new players.
Yep. Okay, this what it boils down to is Mike T believes Bryce Young will be almost an historical exception, that he is that exceptional a player, and he places his bet on
Jay,
Bryce Young.
You want to ride with me?
Would you rather get blown out in the championship or not get there at all? That's the question after the championship last night. KJM.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.